Welcome to the Destiny Youth Podcast. Destiny Youth is the youth ministry of Destiny Church based in Glasgow. Thanks for listening.
Hello, everyone. My name is Matt. I am the pastor here at Destiny Youth. I'm here today with two of our amazing youth, Nathan and Navlin. Say hello.
Hello.
Hello, guys.
So just kind of a fun little thing to start off with. I love asking these questions. Navlin, let's have you go first. If you could be any animal for one day, what animal would you want to be?
A wolf.
A wolf? Why a wolf?
Because wolves are like the coolest animals you can have.
The coolest animals you can have?
Or be.
Or be, okay. Have or be. Okay. Wolf is a good answer. I want to have wolves one day. They're super fun. They make good pets. It's true. Nathan, what about you?
An eagle, Pastor.
An eagle. Why an eagle?
Just the way the eagle is. I mean, a good character about an eagle is, you know, it soars high. Mm-hmm. And then it's described in the Bible as well, you know, soar as high as an eagle. And, mm-hmm. you know, just the way it soars and, you know, it has its own thing.
Yeah.
Just go up. You can watch everything what's happening downstairs from up and. Yeah.
It owns its own space.
Yeah.
Cool. Good answers. All right. So in this podcast, we are going to be covering Connect with God. We're actually going to be going through this for the next couple of months with these podcasts, just as extra time to dive into how it looks to connect with God and have your daily encounters. So with you guys, the first question is, what was your relationship with God like before you learned how to connect with him? And what was your view of God?
How I learned to connect is once after coming here, like, you know, yes, we used to connect back home as well, but not mm-hmm. into that, you know, not, I mean, I've never pushed into that tangible and that manifest presence, mm-hmm. but once coming here, you know, just pushing more often into that tangible and deeper presence, you know. And that, to answer the second question, my view of God personally, you know, it was like, God's good. He's grace. He gives you grace. He's mm-hmm. merciful. And that part, the more you pushed into the presence, the more you connected with him, more the more corrections you were, the more he corrected you, and the more he corrected you, the more perfect you were, mm-hmm. and the more, of course, you have corrections every day. We human, we make mistakes,
but yeah.
the more corrections I went through, the more I enjoyed it,
yeah.
just because I was getting corrected, and then my mistakes were being made perfect.
Yeah.
And yeah,
it was a daily pushing more into becoming like Jesus.
Yeah.
How about you, Navlin?
For me, before God was like in the Bible, I used to see my mom, she reads her Bible every day, and like following that, I just started reading my Bible every day. And for me, that was God. He has spoken to me before, like in the Bible, like when I read, mm-hmm. he has spoken to me before, and it actually felt really good because I know that he was seeing my day, and like with that, he was giving me verses.
Yeah.
It was very nice. And then my dad used to like, he writes down things that like prayer requests. So for me, that was God, like Bible and praying, prayer requests. That was God for me. But after coming here, I realized it's a whole lot more.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And like my views before actually getting to know God, it was like creator, mm-hmm. savior, all-knowing, all-powerful, amazing.
Yeah.
That's what God was for me. But now it's a whole lot more. It's way developed now.
Yeah. Would you say that there was a almost like a distance of, I know about God. I know that he's amazing. I know that he created everything and I love him, but there is this distance of, I know about him, but I don't really know him personally in the same way. Was it kind of like that?
Before coming here, I never realized that there was actually a distance.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know that you could go so deep with God.
Yeah.
Apart from like speaking in tongues, that's the only thing I knew about like getting into a relationship with God. Apart from that, it was nothing for me.
Yeah. It was similar with me and my upbringing. It's like, I never questioned, is God real? I knew God was real. I knew he was powerful. He created everything and that he loved me and saved me. But yeah, it's like you said, like you don't fully understand that there is a distance between you and God. And there's so much more you can press into and so much more to learn about him. You have no idea that distance is there until you see it. And then it's like, wow, I cannot go back to how it was before knowing what I know now. Yeah. And you will fight to stay there because it's so different. When was the first time that you felt the manifested presence of God and you knew it was him? And what happened? Like, explain for the people listening the first time you felt that manifested presence, what you were doing and what happened.
I have two experiences, Pastor. I have mm-hmm. many more, but I want to share yeah. two of them. The first one was, I think it was in the sixth, I believe, or the fifth or the sixth week after I was here. I was in the house. It was during our vacation. We were off from school and I was having my daily encounter. And another thing is, that was the time when I realized to have my daily encounters more.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was having my daily encounter, and then I've never, felt God speak to me.
Yeah.
Like literally that spoken voice. Mm-hmm. I've had verses and then which promise cards and promises for the year and everything. But I was worshiping, and it was a song from Mercy Culture. I remember that song. It was The Blood.
Mm.
And then that song, I was worshiping, and then I fell face down, and then I could see, like, literally I could see a vision mm-hmm. where I could see myself in the same position I was, covered with the blood of Jesus, like literally Jesus poured. Just, it reminded me of this thing from the Bible where when David was anointed, you know, the oil dripped down. It was the same thing, like when I could see Jesus anointing me with his blood, and mm-hmm. I was covered from the tip of my head to the tips of my toe. I was literally covered in blood.
Yeah.
And that was one. And the second time was here in church when we had our young encounter, the first mm-hmm. young encounter. I was in a place where, of course, a church, we're not in an open space and it's all covered.
Yeah.
I could feel I was standing there with my eyes closed and I could feel wind.
Mm-hmm.
Just touching, and not that rushing wind, just that gentle touch and that yeah. breeze. And then you know, I knew, and God spoke to me, and then I knew it was from God, because I've never had an experience like that. And
yeah.
the first thing that I thought after that was, I questioned myself, like, I'm in a room where everything is closed. Mm-hmm. I'm between four walls. How could I experience a touch of
a move
wind?
Of wind, yeah. And there's no air conditioning. There's no wind flow. Mm-hmm. There's no fans. Yeah.
How could I experience just that touch? I questioned myself if I was dreaming or if that was actually real.
Yeah.
and then I came to you and I spoke about it, and then you give me a deeper and a clear understanding of what it is.
Yeah.
And then I think, yeah, those were my two experiences.
Yeah. I love that vision you had of Jesus pouring out his blood on you, because it's an anointing of his blood. You know, people can hear that not understanding the full, you know, context of it and be like, oh, that's kind of gross. or oh, that's kind of like, oh, that's disturbing. Someone's pouring their blood on it. But yeah, it's a beautiful thing. Because obviously there's power in the blood of Jesus. It's his blood that sanctifies us, cleanses us. Beautiful moment. How about you, Navlin?
For me, I think it was maybe the second or third week when I came here. It wasn't like God spoke with me, but I could feel God, like, with me.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I was praying, I think I was praying with Jen.
Yeah.
And when we were praying, I suddenly started to cry. I don't even know why I was crying. I just, tears of joy, you could call it. I started crying, and then out of nowhere, the same wind. I felt that wind, because before, I remember, I was so warm.
Yeah.
But then after that, just, I was freezing. It was very cold. And not even like a wind, it was actually cold. And then I could feel God speak to me, because I remember him like actually telling me I was going through like a bit of sadness at that time. And then I could actually hear him giving me words of encouragement.
Yeah.
And after that, I did the same thing. I questioned myself, because I couldn't believe it. My mind went blank. And when I got up and like I was not crying anymore, I couldn't remember anything apart from like the words that he gave me. I prayed about it for a while, and then I realized it wasn't me, it was God.
Yeah.
And I didn't have to be afraid. Then after that, whenever I actually connect with God, it's very nice, it's peaceful. I cry, and I think that's how I speak with God, like obedience.
Mm-hmm.
Crying and listening. It makes me feel good, even though it's tears, but it's good tears.
Yeah.
That was my very first experience.
Yeah. Sometimes people have this idea of like, we don't want to have a church service based upon emotions. Because people will think, oh, well, if you have that's just your emotion, that might not be God. But like, You guys know me. I'm one of the least emotional people around. So it's like when it is God, when it is his presence merits an emotional reaction, because he is a God of emotion. He's a God of deep love. He's a God of just deep peace. And as humans, we are very reactionary in our emotions. So we have a bad day. Well, then our reactionary response is we're angry. We have a bad week. Our reactionary response is depression. You know, all these different things. But once you get into the presence of God, no matter what your week was like, what your day was like, no matter what emotion you are carrying, you could be walking in with depression and anxiety. But then when he comes in and you feel his presence, like it melts all of that away, and you just, there is no option but to respond emotionally with tears of joy or just peace. It's an amazing thing. I remember this was before you guys got here, I think, with the wind thing. I was praying and worshiping at the old building, as I usually do before each service, and I'm praying and worshiping. The worship music is on, it's loud, and I just keep asking the Holy Spirit, like, I want you to come and fill this place so that the youth can experience you. And then the music fades out, because it was going into a softer song, and I hear wind in the beams of the church. For those listening, it was an older building. It's this old Scottish church, and there's wooden beams, extremely high ceilings. I hear wind in the ceiling. And then I did the same thing where I was like, oh, maybe I'm hearing things. So I go outside, zero wind, no wind outside, come back into the church. There's wind in the ceiling and I hear it. And it's like, again, there's no air conditioning here. There's no ceiling fans. There's no nothing. But he's literally up in the ceiling, just moving around. Craziness. But yeah, when things like that happen, when he manifests himself in those ways, it's so beautiful. And then people will call you crazy. And it's like, yeah, fine. Call me crazy. I don't care. I saw it. I heard it. You didn't.
Yeah.
But please come and experience it so that you can be crazy with us. It's amazing. But yeah, there's so many times where his presence is just so good. And he's such a good father to where we often forget, like we treat him like a God, which he is. He is God, but he's also our father. And when we get into his presence, sometimes your dad just wants to give you a hug. And that's what his presence does, is he comes in and he's just like, let me just give you a hug. Let me just show you how much I love you. And that merits an emotional response when you feel that. I feel bad for people who are missing out on it. It's like there's all these ways that you can experience his presence, and reading scripture is one of them. And absolutely, we need to be doing that. You absolutely should be reading scripture because he still speaks through it. But if that's all you're doing and you're not inviting him in the fullness of who he is, it's like you're just missing out. And there's a guy named A.W. Tozer, amazing books that he writes. One in particular, I believe, is called The Pursuit of God, which if you haven't read The Pursuit of God, go read The Pursuit of God. It's amazing. But in it, A.W. Tozer is talking about how some people are scribes, meaning all they do is read scripture. And some pastors are this way, to where it's like they read scripture and then they just repeat what they read. But then there's others who are prophets, who they tell people what they've heard and seen from the Lord. And we're actually, with the gifts of the Spirit, we're called to be both. We're called to read his word, tell people what we have read, but then we're also called to get into his presence, hear what he has to say, see what he wants us to see, and then go tell people about that. We're supposed to have our daily encounter with him and then go tell people and share it. And that's where a lot of these words of wisdom come from, or words of knowledge, where you could be in your time of prayer and then he'll just give you a word for somebody. It's the best when it's a stranger that you don't know. And then he just tells you, hey, go tell this person this. It's like, oh, I don't want to do that. What if it's wrong? It's like, no, go do it. Okay. And then it ends up being exactly what they needed to hear. It's so much fun. How have you discovered that you connect with God? In what ways have you discovered, even if they've been surprising? So me, for instance, I shared this the other night with the youth, but if I was ever in a charismatic church where people are like dancing during worship and they're twirling the flags and everything, when I saw that in my younger years, I was like, that's dumb. I hate this. This is weird. Like, just worship God. Sit near your chair or stand, lift your hands and just sing. That's what worship is. And I was so wrong. But I never liked that. The whole dancing thing is probably because I don't dance. But once I saw it actually being done for his glory and for God, my whole view on it changed. And so it unlocked a whole new world of connecting with him through movement. Now, I don't dance, but there's plenty of other movements that you can do that connect you with God. And so that's where my time in the gym actually became encounters with God. Because if I can move and get my mind and my body, like, not focused on the week, not focused on the day, but focusing primarily on him and hearing from him, it's within that movement that I connect with him. So what were some of the ways that you found you connect with God?
For me, I usually play cricket, and every time I've been on the field and every time I get a ball and I just run into ball, sometimes I'm, you know, I have a plan of, you know, I'd say, let me bowl these balls, mm-hmm. these six balls, I'm going to bowl these kind of deliveries. But every time I do that, just before I start running up, God, I've heard God tell me which ball to bowl mm-hmm. and in which area to bowl that ball. Or sometimes there was this instance, I remember we were playing a final. It was a cup game. We were playing a final against Fergusley. It was in Fergusley. And then, so funny. We usually get to bowl four overs. And I had already bowled my two overs. And I got smacked all around the park. Every guy who came in just smacked me everywhere. That's because God told me to bowl this delivery. And I said, God, look, can you please wait? Let me do my thing. I know what to bowl. I did. I got hit for a six. The next time I did it, I got hit for a four. And then I went back. I finished my over. And then I was in the boundary line. And then I heard God tell me. I heard God tell this to me. I was like, I told you what to do. Why didn't you do it? Like, I'm sorry, God. And then I went back the next over. And he told me what to do, and I did the complete opposite of it again. And mm-hmm. I was like, God, why are you doing this to me? And he said, I'm not doing anything. You are doing everything. I'm telling you what to do, but you're not doing it. And then I said, oh, look, I'm sorry, God. I went in to bowl my third over, and then he told me to bowl a particular ball. Mm-hmm. I did that, and then I got a wicket on that ball. It was like complete. And then I was like, thank you, God. And he was like, It's so funny. And then I think connecting through movement has been one of my top things as well, because just out of nowhere you start moving, you start jumping, you start doing random things. I remember this thing. I usually walk down to school, and there was this day where I had my AirPods on and I was walking down to school, and then it was in the park. I looked around and I saw nobody, and then I just stuck my AirPod on, and then I started playing worship music, and out of nowhere I started jumping, and there was this old lady coming from behind and she looked at me like this, and she asked me if I was okay. And then I said, yeah, I'm okay. That was one of the funniest things that I had. And then, yeah, it's just amazing the way sometimes you do some things without you not knowing what you're doing.
Yeah. I have my own fun story about disobeying something that I clearly heard. My wife and I were on holiday in Northern Scotland before we moved here. And we were at this hotel, which was kind of out in the middle of nowhere. And I was so hungry. We had been hiking all day. There was no other place to eat except for this hotel. And I looked at the menu and I was like, oh, nothing looks good except for this burger. I'm going to get this burger. And I felt the Lord say, don't. It's like, oh, but nothing else looks good. Yeah, I'm going to get the burger. The burger comes out, looking at it. And then I feel the Lord again, don't eat that. Like, but I'm so hungry and it's already here. So I look at the burger. I'm like, it looks fine. It's fine. It's all right, God. It's fine. I eat it. Next day, I have the worst food poisoning I've ever had in my life. If any of you know my wife, you can ask her about the time that Matt ate a hamburger in the Highlands. And because I so wanted to go hiking with our kids. So we're in the mountains hiking and everything. And every 4 minutes, I'm just on the side of the trail throwing up, having a miserable time. But like God said, do not eat this twice. I was like, no, it's fine. But Yeah. To what you said, though, it's like, to some it may seem unnatural, but that is totally natural. When we look back through the Bible, we see all these people connecting with God in everything that they did. Now, you can have some people today who take it way, way too far, where it's like, God, which bag of chips should I buy? And God's like, you've got a brain, figure it out. Like, which one do you like better? Go with the one you like better. But we do need to reprioritize time with God and connecting with God, because we tend to, as Christians, say, okay, I've got 15 minutes of my day devoted to God. This is when I'll read my Bible and talk to him. When in actuality, God wants the whole day. And so instead of just, you know, carving out your 15 minutes, you just say, Lord, I want you here for the entirety of the day. Speak to me just going throughout my day. Speak to me when I'm about to eat this poisonous burger. Speak to me before I go play cricket. And while I play cricket, speak to me in the gym. Speak to me when I'm at school, when I'm at work. We tend to kind of try to compartmentalize God, when it's like, he's God. You're not going to compartmentalize God.
Yeah.
That doesn't work that way. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we need to get over this whole, oh, I did my 15-minute devotional, now I'm done with God for the day. It's like, the whole day is his. It belongs to him in the first place.
Yeah.
Might as well just invite him into it and allow him to speak. What about you, Navlin? Do you want me to repeat the question?
Yes, please. Okay.
How have you discovered that you connect with God?
Well, I think I connect with God with... I think it is movement, but I would say dance.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a habit, you can ask my brother, when I'm at home, I calculate the number of steps it takes to cross a room, and I take those number of steps. I run around the place like an insane person. I jump on the sofa. I do quite crazy stuff. So I climb on the bed for no reason. I look at the squares on the ground and I'm like, this square. Not that square, and then that.
Like you're playing hopscotch.
Yes,
with the squares.
But it's not hopscotch. I'm trying to jump from one corner of the room to the other.
Mm-hmm.
I like walking a lot, like a lot. I would prefer to walk across a river than like on top of the river, not in the river. Mm-hmm. Like walk across a bridge than like go in a car.
Mm.
So for me, movement has always been like a very important part of me. But I think once on a Friday, when like we were having our encounters, for some reason God spoke to me, and then like an image of angel wings started coming into my mind. I think I told you about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just felt like dancing, and I'm very bad at dance. It's a true thing. I cannot dance. But then I got this image of like angel wings, and then I just had to dance. It felt more like a need than a want.
Yeah.
I just had to do it. And then I did. It felt good. It felt very good. I just stopped thinking about everything. It was very nice. So that is definitely one of my tops. And then for me in school, in like my business class, we don't do a lot of work. It's more like a free period.
Mm-hmm.
So in my jotter, I search up lyrics of worship songs, and then I write on one page, like one set of lyrics. And you can check my jotters, like every page you have lyrics in them. And then just during class, I just think about them. I write down like what I feel like when I'm doing it. And that's how I connect with God during my school time, because that's one of the peaceful times that I get.
Mm-hmm.
Writing the lyrics down, it like I would do them in like Hindi. I write it down in Hindi and English. It's nice. I think about the lyrics and think about what they actually mean.
Yeah.
And then I feel God. It's just there. The Holy Spirit's there. It feels very nice.
Yeah. Again, it goes back to the whole day is his. So even when you're at school, it's like, I'm just going to write down these lyrics and just spend time with you, because we're not doing anything important right now.
Yes. But
yeah, I love that. And I remember there's been a couple of times where you've danced in a corporate encounter and the Holy Spirit has just hit you in a massive way. I'm trying to remember the particular time that it was, but there was one time where we had just got the flags for Dancing With. I don't remember what the song was, but you started dancing and I just looked over and it was like, oh man. And then as soon as I noticed, I was like, that's what, like, God is so happy with what's happening right there with Navlin. And then as soon as I said that in my mind, you like dropped down to your knees and it was over. You were bowing in front of God. It was amazing to see. And then the second time was at the second Young Encounter where it was you and Divine dancing. And then normally I would tell you, and I tell everyone who dances, people out there listening, this is very important. If you are in a corporate encounter and the Lord tells you to do something, obey what the Lord tells you to do, but also do not bring attention to yourself because it's about Him. It's not about you. If He wants you to obey, obey it, but be sure that you are putting all of the attention back on Him. I just had to say that before we go into this next bit. Because normally anyone dancing, I would say, stay on the side of the room. That way it's not this, we don't want it to be a production. We want it to be worship and dance for God. And you can do that in the most secret of places. But I felt like the Lord said, bring them to the front to dance for me. So I brought you guys to the front. I remember you were kind of like, oh, okay. But I brought you to the front. And again, the Holy Spirit just hit. And then both you and Divine were just so moved in that moment. And just, you were crying. Other people were crying, seeing this take place. And it was so great because normally it's like you were dancing for the Lord. But in that moment, I felt the Lord say they were dancing with me. I was like, oh man, that's so beautiful. We crossed from one thing into another thing. So incredible and so beautiful. And then going back to something that you said, Nathan, was the lady coming up to you when you were jumping and saying, are you okay? there's been moments when I've been in the gym and like I'll finish a lift. And then God will say something and then I'll be like, oh, I need to kneel. I need to bow. So, you know, it could look weird, but I will bow in the gym. I'll get on my face in the gym and I've had people come up to me and be like, are you okay? Just thinking that I overexerted myself. It's like, are you all right? Yes, I'm fine. It's fine. Go away. It's fine. But yeah, when the Lord says to do something, sometimes when you obey it, even if it feels uncomfortable, He is bringing you into a new level of worship and a new level of intimacy with Him. And it's so important that you always have your ear open to what He wants you to do in those moments, because He'll take you somewhere different.
Yeah.
So what do you do in your daily encounters? And I mean, sometimes they can look a little bit different. I can just say what mine would normally look like. When I get up in the morning, one of the first things I do is I say, good morning, Holy Spirit. I acknowledge that He is there with me. And that's not only an exercise for myself of just, I want to acknowledge God firstly, once I wake up, but then it also kind of resets your mind to, okay, I'm doing my day with God, even starting now. But I'll walk to the gym, put worship music on in my headphones, begin speaking to God on the walk over. Sometimes I'll go to the gym with, somebody else. So that walk over and the walk back from the gym is very, very important to me. If I'm there by myself in the gym, that continues, because there's no one there to talk to me. So that's my continued time with God. And then coming here, depending upon the day, I'll always read my Bible and ask God what He wants to say. I'll talk to Him just throughout the day. There's a sign on the outside of my door that says, speak in the Holy Ghost. It's a constant reminder to just be praying in tongues, you know, wherever and whenever. I'll worship God in my office. I'll ask him to speak, all these different things. But then one particular thing that I like to do that we haven't done in a bit because we're still waiting on our car to get repaired, but connecting with God out in nature. And this is something that actually I think my wife and I are going to do a podcast on this for our family podcast later about connecting as a family. But what we do is we love to take our kids to the lake and then we'll have a fire, cut some wood, just hang out at the lake in the nature that God has created. And then that's our moment to talk to the kids about God. Like whenever it's blackberry season, we'll go find blackberries. We'll go find elderberries, all sorts of things, and pick them and be like, look, isn't this amazing? God made these so that you could eat them. And of course, my kids are, you know, 5 and 7. So they're like, yeah, that's great. I'm just eating the berries. But it's crucial for us to have these moments of connecting with God in nature with our children as a family. And, you know, there's so many ways that you can connect with God, not only just by yourself personally, but you can also do it as a family. And depending upon how you're doing it as a family, it could look different from your own personal ones. But for this particular case with other youth that might be listening who are saying like, I want to start daily encounters, but I don't necessarily know where to begin. How did you guys start doing your daily encounters? And what does an average daily encounter for you look like now?
All it takes is just put on some worship music and ask him to come. That's all it takes, Pastor. But for me, my day usually starts as soon as I get up. I say, Lord, have your way. I want my day to have holy interruptions. So have holy interruptions. Speak to me and speak through me. Speak to me and speak through me. And then if I have to drop my brother off to nursery, drop him off, then walk to school. Mm-hmm. And then in that walk, I usually have worship music on. And then I come back. And then after I come back from school, it's like an hour of just prayer and intercession.
Mm-hmm.
And then just intercede, ask God on what to intercede. And on if I have to intercede for my family, I do it. If I have to intercede for my country, do it. And then just pray, write down my prayer requests, and then once that is done, I then read my word.
Mm-hmm.
Once I read the Bible, that usually takes about 25 to 30 minutes. So I recommend everybody read a psalm, a proverb every day.
Mm-hmm.
One psalm, one proverb, and then at least two chapters to start off, a chapter from the Old Testament and a chapter from the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
And I usually do it that way. I usually read a psalm, a proverb, and then two chapters from the Old Testament, two chapters from the New Testament. And then ask, before reading the word, I ask God, like, speak to me and mm-hmm. speak through me, correct me wherever you have to correct. I give you permission. And then once that is done, if it was in the season, in the correcting season, I just used to go down to the ground and just stick. If I was alone, I would just put on worship music and then start just walking around the ground, just speaking in tongues, connecting with him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I'm going to the gym, I just put on the way to the gym, I just put my earphones on and then connect with him there. And once mm-hmm. I'm back, just before I go to bed, another just worship session, just complete worship session. And then on weekends, it might differ. Like I do everything at a stretch. Like
yeah.
from I start, as soon as I start, like I intercede, pray, then worship, read the Bible. And then it's like a 2.5-3 hour thing mm-hmm. at a stretch on the weekends. And sometimes it is only worship.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't know. God just tells me today, just do worship. And then I just do worship for like 2 hours.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is you don't notice the time pass. And it flies away so quickly when mm-hmm. you're in worship. But every time you look back after a song and then you look at the time, the time goes slowly, but when you completely focus on God, and when you completely forget about your surroundings and whatever is happening in your surroundings, time flies so quickly.
Oh yeah.
And then
you'll get up and be like, oh, it's been 4 hours.
Yeah.
Wow. I could go for another 4 hours. This is great.
Yeah. It's just amazing.
Yeah. What about you, Navlin?
For me, I wake up and I pray. Like in my bed, I just like to, once I wake up, I like to like cover myself in my blanket and then just pray when I'm warm. It's nice. And I don't like just pray for what I want. I like to like, I pray for everything God has done. I say like, thank you for giving this beautiful and wonderful day to us. Mm-hmm. Thank you for giving me this life. Thank you for opening my eyes for another day and letting me see sun.
Yeah.
Like that.
Well, when the sun is here.
Yes.
It is Scotland, so.
Thank you for the rain.
Thank you for the gray sky and the rain.
Like that, I have a habit of like talking about things he's done in the past. I take that very seriously because I like to like remind myself of all the good things he's done.
Yeah.
And then before I leave my house to go to school or go somewhere, I pray, because you need God's protection outside, like so that no harm and danger comes to you. I pray like before leaving my home, and then like I walk to school, and when I'm walking, I like I either like sing a song or like look at the lyrics and then just read it in my mind. Because when I'm walking to school, it's really quiet because I'm walking through the park. There's hardly anyone there. It's just dark and then forest and leaves.
Yeah.
So I sing a song, not like loudly, but just to myself, because it's quiet and that's the thing you can do. And then once I sing my song, I speak to God. But it's not like at youth. It's not like fully in. But I feel like it's
personal.
Yeah. Because I'm speaking to him. Like there's only me who's speaking with God at that time. And then once school starts, like I have a habit of praying before I do anything big in school. Like if I'm going to like a meeting at school or if I'm taking a test at school, I always pray, because you need that guidance.
Yeah.
You need that guidance. And during my classes, because in classes, it's just like they at the start of the class, they teach you what to do and then you just have to do it by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I just tend to finish my work quickly and then I do the lyrics thing again.
Yeah.
I just look at the lyrics, I focus on them, and that's how I just spend my time throughout my classes, because we don't really learn anything. So we don't learn anything. I just do that during my classes, and after school, sometimes I walk back with my friends, or sometimes I'm just walking alone. And that time I put worship music on. I take my headphones with me. I put worship music on. And then it's all peaceful. It's just me and God walking down the road where no one's there. It's really nice. And like, I think that's my daily encounter. And when I'm reading my scripture, I read like how my brother said, I do like the one psalm, one proverb every day. Because like Psalms are very encouraging and Proverbs are like, it's wisdom. So I do that a lot. But sometimes like I go out of my normal scripture and like just read what I'm not supposed to read, but I just flip through the Bible and then see which verse is calling to me.
Yeah.
I do that a lot. And I write the verse down. Yeah. It helps.
Man, like, I'm just going to tell you, this isn't meant to be like flattering or anything like that. You know me. I will give, what's the word? I don't just hand out compliments to be a nice guy. Like, whenever I say something, it is because I genuinely see something that I am proud of. And I am truly proud of the both of you and how far you have come in your relationship with God and connecting with Him on a daily basis. It's not something that, you see a lot of. There's plenty of religious people, there's plenty of Christians, but there's not a lot of people who every single day are willing to get into His presence and won't leave until they get a word from God. So it's a beautiful thing, And I love that you guys are doing it, especially at such a young age. It's something that I wish I had learned way early on. If I could have learned this at your guys' age, oh my goodness, it would have been so much better. But it's never too late and it's never too early. Last question as we wrap this up. What is the coolest, the sweetest, the best thing that God has said to you recently, or a vision he's given you recently?
The most encouraging thing was, I think it was a very recent one, Pastor. It was a vision. It wasn't directly to me. Oh, actually, yeah. I remember. Can I share two things?
Mm-hmm.
The first thing was just before after I started cricket, I think, you know, I usually get, I rang my pastor back in India,
mm-hmm.
and then I spoke to him for a very long time, and then he prayed for me, and then I was so tensed and so worried about that game. I don't know why. And then he told me that he saw a vision where he could see me and then Jesus literally holding my hand and playing cricket with me.
Mm-hmm.
That was the most encouraging thing. And then very recently, I think it was last three or four days before, I had a dream of, I don't know if you guys know this guy, Virat Kohli. He's like the top, the best player in cricket right now.
I have no idea who that is.
I had a dream of him giving me his bat mm-hmm. and saying something to me. And that was the most encouraging thing, the coolest thing, the funniest thing. Like, why would he give it to me? But when I ask God, I'm like, yes, he is going to give it to you. Don't worry. And then, that was another thing. I asked God for the interpretation of that dream as well. And mm-hmm. then he said, one thing, whatever you're going to do it for the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, yes, whatever I do, I'm going to do it for the glory of God. And yeah.
For me, like, the way has, like, God has, like, encouraged me was when, at school not everyone's good.
Yeah.
So at school, there were a few, like, selected people who were making fun of me a lot, and like, I wouldn't say bullying, but just like really repeating stuff again and again until it was actually in my head.
Yeah.
It started to get really annoying. And when I used to tell the teachers, because, well, they can't do anything. So they just used to say, I'll talk to them. And then that never happened.
Yeah.
So, and even if they talked to like the student, it's not like they would just stop.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was very saddening, you could say, because in every single one of my classes, I either had like one or two people who just used to annoy me a lot, like actually annoy. I never liked it. It was, I would say, mean mm-hmm. and rude for them to do something like that.
But, yeah.
And then I spoke to God about it. And then I think once on a Friday when I was praying about it during like praise and worship, because I like praying. When I was praying, I remember God like telling me to forgive.
Yeah.
Because I think without knowing, I was just holding it like in my heart.
Yeah.
They were being mean to me. And I had to forgive, because I know that that's not who they are. And it's not like they were born like they are. Like, they just turned out to be that way. And even though it was very hard for me to let go, I had to pray and like actually ask for forgiveness. Like, I'm saying that I forgive them, and me asking God for forgiveness, for him to forgive me for holding that in my heart.
Yeah.
And then now they don't even bother me. Like, they don't even come close to me. And I realized, like, there's no point in me being mad at them, because I'm just going to be like them then. So
yeah.
I started, you know, like, actually talking with them and then telling, like, nice things about them. I like giving compliments a lot. I actually went up to them and I spoke with them. And now nobody in school bothers me anymore. Because I think me speaking with them and forgiving them was something good.
Yeah.
And like how God told me to like forgive them. I think that helped a lot because it was very encouraging for me. And also very recently, it was this Friday, actually. It was this Friday. I was praying with Sheldon. And then he told me that I'm not too much. And then he told me that he prayed. Because at school, like, I get told a lot that I'm, like, I'm over the top. Like, I'm way too active. And then I have way too much energy. I get told that all the time. They say that I'm very extra. They call me dramatic. Like at youth, if anyone calls me dramatic, I know they're saying it like out of love.
Yeah.
But in school, they just like, oh, you're so dramatic. And then I'm like, no, that's just me.
Yeah.
But they were very discouraging. And then Sheldon prayed. And then like this week, he told me that I was not too much. And then I could feel it. I felt God speak to him.
Yeah.
Like, to me. And then I was very encouraged because I'm not over. I think I realized that I'm not extra. I'm just who God wants me to be.
Yeah.
It was actually very encouraging.
Yeah. And God made you that way.
Yes.
So for us to try to, obviously we have things in our flesh that we need to change when we become more like Jesus, but there's aspects that he created within us that he uses for his glory. So when someone might say, oh, you're energetic and over the top, that's just the way that God made you. And he'll use that for his glory. So when other people try to shut that down and you feel like, oh, I need to be, you know, this calm, like never bother anybody kind of person. But then when God comes in and says, no, you're not over the top. That's the way that I made you. There's something so beautiful about that when he uses someone to tell you those words, because sometimes he might have been trying to tell you this entire time, but because of all of the other voices, you kind of drown it out of like, no, you know, maybe I am overdramatic. Maybe I am A, B, C, but then somebody else comes in and says, no, the Lord says this. It's a great thing. Yeah. Thank you guys so much for doing this podcast with me. Do you have any final encouragements for youth or even adults who are listening who may want to begin this journey of connecting with God on a daily basis? What is your encouragement for them?
Obedience. That's one thing I learned. Like listen to him and do what he says, because I remember once he asked me to go and speak to someone else and tell them about like a Bible verse. I don't know where it came out. It was Psalms. I don't remember, but I remember God telling me, go speak to that person and tell them this. I didn't believe it at first, but after I spoke to them, it turned out they had been praying on that chapter for the entire week. Just because I listened to him, I felt happy and somebody else was happy because of me. So always listen to him. He's amazing.
Yeah.
All it takes is the simplest things, Pastor. All it takes is you saying, yes, Lord, I'm here. Do what you want to do to me and through me. And yeah, again, it comes back to obedience.
Yeah.
Like obeying and then... yeah, just the smallest things.
Yeah, just simply saying, God, I'm here and I want you to speak to me.
Mm-hmm.
That's the perfect place to start. If you are listening to this and you have not gone through the Connect with God quiz, if you go to destiny-church.com/myconnect, you can go there. There's some pages on there that explain the different ways to connect with God. There's only one way to God, and that is through Jesus. But through Jesus, there are multiple ways to connect. We talked about a couple of them today, about nature, about creation, and about movement. But go to destiny-church.com/myconnect. There's a quiz there that you can take that will help you find a starting point of how you can connect with God. And of course, there are some other one-pagers on there, one that will tell you how you can start your daily encounters, and you can go from there. So destiny-church.com/myconnect. Make sure you go there for more information. But for now, thank you, Nathan. Thank you, Navlin.
Thank you for having us, Pastor.
Thank you, Pastor.
And we will see all of you next time.